checking business in Hong Kong amid the protests. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. In Hong Kong now, financial markets were closed for the first of 2 days of planned national holidays. The time off work prompted some families to come out and view the pro-democracy demonstrations, a bet that there would be no crackdown by authorities, at least for now. The BBC's Hong Kong correspondent Juliana Liu is there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Without the obligation to go to work because it's a holiday there, what did you see today?
The protesters have taken over a huge stretch on Connaught Road specifically. That is a very wide thoroughfare that cuts across the heart of the financial sector. So they've effectively shut that road down since Sunday. Previously, I mean, this started out as a civil disobedience movement, and that by definition means that protesters are actively trying to get arrested.
Now, officials in Hong Kong have warned protesters that continued demonstrations could hurt the city financially. Are there any early signs of that happening, of financial effects?
I think it's more on a micro level than a macro level. There have been a number of businesses that have been affected by these protests. Today, the protests spread to a third neighborhood called Tsim Sha Tsui. And this is an area that is extremely popular with mainland tourists who like to come, especially on public holidays, to buy big ticket items like Prada. Well, I can't really name the rest of them because I don't really buy them myself, but you know what I mean. And there was a lot of disruption to the business in those areas.
BBC Hong Kong correspondent Juliana Liu, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There was a new downbeat reading from people who do the ordering at factories across China today. It is October now when medical charities make the big push for dollars. Down Syndrome Awareness Month, breast cancer awareness, and more. May is the other big month. Marketplace's Dan Weissman looks at the business of charitable months.
Did you know that October was Lupus Awareness Month? That's was past tense. It's now in May. Dwayne Peters is the Lupus Foundation of America's senior communications director. October was Lupus Month when he started working there in 1994.
And we noticed that over the years, the month became very crowded.
He won't say it was just breast cancer, but that disease did lock up a lot of corporate support. Hitting up companies for lupus put them
in that position where they'd say, well, gee whiz, we already do something for breast cancer. We like lupus. We want to support it, but
sorry. In 2003, the Lupus Foundation started looking seriously at May. It took years, first to decide, then to switch. Other months are more straightforward. Pam Paladin runs marketing for the American Association of Orthodontists. I asked her why October was National Orthodontic Health Month.
As it turns out, the week following Halloween is generally the busiest week for orthodontists for emergency appointments.
Caramel apples, not so kind to braces. Be aware. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
U.S. military personnel get discounts on groceries and other products down at the commissary, but a piece of next year's spending bill would eliminate the discount for tobacco. Supporters of the change highlight the $1.6 billion that the Defense Department spends on tobacco-related health issues. Sally Herships reports.
Before he retired from the Navy Dental Corps, Dr. Larry Williams used to help sailors quit using tobacco. He says one reason they start is peer pressure. Sailors see their superior smoking, so they try it too. He also remembers a colleague who told him he was about to start smoking.
And I looked at him and said, why? And he said, well, everybody else in the office smokes. And when the senior chief goes outside to smoke, they all go with him and they leave me behind to take care of all the work in the office.
You should know Williams grew up on a tobacco farm, but now he's a consultant to the National Development and Research Institute. He looks at the effectiveness of tobacco policy in the military. Williams says tobacco use harms the health and readiness of troops and costs taxpayers billions.
If you're a smoker, your hospital stays are 20% longer. You have a double risk of a postoperative infection from any surgery that you have.
Williams says he wants the military's tobacco discount ended, but he says that could be difficult.
The profits from tobacco sales on the base Those are used by MWR, Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. It helps pay for the daycare centers. It helps pay for the gymnasiums, for the clubs.
The American Lung Association says the military has been struggling for years with how to address tobacco, but it keeps getting caught up in politics. Congressman Stephen Palazzo represents Southern Mississippi. He was also a Marine. He says ending the discount represents a slippery slope.
I mean, what's next? Are they going to, you know, not allow you to eat a cheeseburger? You know, hey, caffeine's bad for you, so no more coffee, no more Krispy Kreme donuts.
Palazzo says he thinks the military should keep its tobacco discount. And he says, why single out one product?
The availability of tobacco products in a combat zone is not the threat. The threat is the bullets coming from the enemy.
The question of whether or not to end the military's discount is expected to come before Senate this fall. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And for all of those who harbored doubts when flight attendants claimed you could not use the cell phone because it interfered with the plane, there's this piece of news today. The Federal Aviation Administration is ordering Boeing to replace 1,300 cockpit displays because they've been shown to frats out when subjected to radio waves from cell phones and Wi-Fi. The supplier, Honeywell, says none of its displays have actually failed in flight. It'll take 5 years to get all the cockpit displays swapped out. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.